Hail and welcome to Besom Buddies, a pagan podcast where we sit at our dining room table and talk about our queer, married, pagan lives. I'm Paul.
And I'm Cody. And today we are talking about Satanism, what it is and how it does and does not relate to Wicca, witchcraft, and paganism.
Stay tuned to find out what made Cody say this.
You mentioned that Crowley was partially responsible for popularizing. And what made Paul say this?
He literally just had a stroke. Cue the jingle.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
We'll always be Besom Buddies, friends, witches, and pals. We'll always be Besom Buddies, a magical pairing, no need for despairing.
Girl.
And we're back. It's been a whole week. How have you been? I live with you and we spend 100% of the time together, but how have you been?
I've been pretty good. I've just been busy doing my college work. I just had an exam, got an A on it, thank God. I really needed a very high A to drag this grade up because I am trying to be that straight A Dean's List. But other than that, I'm fine. There's a dissect a cat in anatomy lab, which was deeply unpleasant to me as a cat owner, especially because mine was pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
Which is awful.
Yeah, that's too much.
It was terrible.
Jeez. Yeah. Pandemic strikes again. It's just been a long, stressful week at work and school, but getting through it bit by bit.
Yeah. How are your plants?
My plants are doing well. I do need more sun. We only have eastern and western more or less facing windows because we're in a townhouse sort of situation. Don't quite get enough sun to make me happy because it's only towards the end of the day on the western, on our western windows when my plants get it. So would like more light for them. Hopefully a future move will enable us to do that.
That's true. But the weather has taken a turn for the good. It's starting to feel like the beginnings of spring, which is always nice. It's lifting our spirits a little bit because it has been dreary.
Seriously dreary. Yeah.
And cold. I mean, cold, like a Dickens novel. Like terrible. But yeah, something we really wanted to talk about was our Facebook page. We wanted to just bring it back up again for you. It's that Besom Buddies fan page. We also have the group, the Broom Closet, which is linked there. We do post on it pretty regularly, especially around times where episodes are being planned or recorded or posted. So again, it's a great place to go. So get onto Facebook and search up the Besom Buddies and you will find the page.
Yes, link in the show notes. So feel free to check it out there. We love topic recommendations. So that's a great place to message us or join the Facebook group and engage there, or send us an email at contact@besombuddies.com, also in the show notes, with any of your ideas. We also hope in the next couple of weeks, months, sometime soon to start bringing on guests and interview type things, just so it's not always us. But today will actually be an interesting dry run because it'll be more interview style about Satanism. I guess I know way more than the average person out there, but I don't know a ton of details about Satanism. And our lovely resident Satanist, Paul, does. So today will be a little bit of a dry run of how more of an interview style podcast might go.
Yeah, I'm excited to tackle this topic. I feel like it's one that does not get discussed nearly as much as it should. I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions and speculation about what Satanism is or is not. So I'm really excited to be able to talk about this today. I think it'll be really enlightening for everybody.
Like I said earlier, I'm going to be asking our resident Satanist, Paul, a series of questions, and we'll engage around topics related to Satanism, witchcraft, and so on, to dive a little deeper into what Satanism is, isn't, and how it relates to paganism. So for those not familiar with witchcraft, Wicca, or paganism, some onlookers may broadly label anything like that as Satanism, anything non-Christian per se. This is a really important topic for us to dig into because in secular spaces, all of these things get conflated a lot. We're going to spend some time defining things and talking through some history and how things developed so that we can all get a better understanding of what the differences and connections are between all of these topics. To get us started, Paul, could you tell us what Satanism is broadly?
In broad terms, Satanism is a philosophical perspective on the world, mostly seen as being comfortable or acquainted with the kind of adversarial or quote-unquote darker aspects of nature and the cosmology. And again, it can be either theistic or atheistic, secular or spiritual, or any sort of blend thereof, actually.
in getting the differences between some of those words that you just said, maybe this will help. So do Satanists worship the devil?
Complicated answer to what seems like a very simple question. First of all, we have to understand that for a large part of human history, at least post-Christian history, the allegations of devil worship have been levied against almost everybody. Especially in the early days, even Jews were seen as being devil worshipers or false idol worshipers and associated with a lot of tropes that actually end up getting incorporated into this idea of Satanism. So it is a powerful kind of allegation that's been used again.
Pretty much anything against what's normal at the time, what's mainstream, is considered anti that. So often getting associated with devil worship or not Christian, Jesus, God worship.
And it evolved throughout like the Middle Ages and with the Inquisition. That charge was labeled against almost every group, Muslims, Jews, actual pagans who were trying to do things at the time, or even some of the kind of secret societies like the Knights Templar or the Masons. That was always in there. So as a simple answer, it's complicated. A slightly more nuanced thing, there are theistic Satanists out there who do worship a devil or a devil figure, at least some adversarial deities. One of the biggest groups would be like Luciferians. And Luciferians, it's a philosophy that grew up through a lot of the occultic writings in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and became a practice, which is not really organized. It's not an organized movement necessarily. It's a lot of independent thinkers and practitioners. But there are some people that do worship a literal like Lucifer, Satan figure and use that as a powerful archetype or enlightener figure for humanity.
I know we'll get into some other types of Satanism, but of the composition of the broader umbrella of Satanism, how large a ballpark would you say that particular approach is?
Very small. The largest preponderance of Satanists are actually secular, atheistic, agnostic, spiritual Satanists, but not explicit devil worshipers. To a lot of the kind of secular Satanists, you would actually be called almost like a reverse Christian if you were a devil worshiper, because you are taking a figure from a Christian mythology and elevating that to another god status. So there is actually almost some deridement, just some like deprecation from secular Satanists toward like Luciferians and other theistic Satanists.
Let's talk then about what atheistic and or secular Satanism is. So could you break down those terms and how it compares and contrasts with theistic Satanism?
Yeah, again, theistic Satanist, it is like a belief in a literal Satan figure, adversarial figure, whether that's Lucifer, Leviathan, Belial, or even certain pagan gods. Like there was a temple of Set, I think it still actually might be around, where they put him into a Satan role. So then you would have, in contrast, the atheistic ones. They don't believe in deity. They use the term Satanist to stand for what it did in Hebrew, which was the adversary. So it shows being on the fringe, kind of countercultural, trying to subvert traditional morality or traditional expectation. So that's the big thing. And the two biggest groups that do that would be the Church of Satan and also the Satanic Temple.
Would it be fair to say that atheistic or secular Satanists are like spooky atheists?
Yeah, they're like spicy, spooky atheists in some regards. I would say there is a certain aesthetic that seems to be fairly common among secular Satanists. Again, because you are trying to stand apart from what would be considered mainstream,
sure,
there is an aesthetic consideration. And actually, especially in the Church of Satan, there is a lot of emphasis on aesthetics, actually.
You mentioned these two organizations, right, of atheistic or secular Satanist approach. Why don't you talk about the Church of Satan first and what they're about?
The Church of Satan is largely seen as like the first real satanic church. And they were formed in April of 1966 by Anton LaVey, and it popped up as an answer to this, all of the moralizing that was happening in the 60s with the civil rights movements. There was a lot of these evangelical or mainstream Christians striking out against the new movements, and the Church of Satan sprung up as a response to that against the moral outcry.
You mentioned Anton LaVey. That's a name I think a lot of people hear. I know I've heard it a lot and know a little bit about him, but he is a pretty big figure, but like you just mentioned, related to the Church of Satan, started it. So who was Anton LaVey and why is he important to Satanism?
Anton LaVey is the founder of the Church of Satan, as I said. He actually has a really fascinating history. He has done all sorts of weird jobs. He worked for the circus as a carnival barker and worked with the sideshow. He has done paranormal investigation stuff. He was just an out there philosopher. He was trying to tease apart all of the moralizing that like mainstream society did and trying to find the root of that, the kind of philosophical roots of the control that the mainstream church, especially the Catholic Church, had over people at the time. And he looked at a lot of different philosophers. There was some Thomas Malthus in there. There was some Darwin in there. It has a widespread philosophical thing. There's some Rand in there, too, which I'll hold judgment about. And of course, Anton LaVey was most notable for really writing the central tenets of the Church of Satan, because he's the founder, and it was the Satanic Bible that he penned and put together and compiled that was the main text.
For pagans out there, if you walked into a mainstream bookstore and go to the New Age religion section, I mean, the Satanic Bible has popped up right along pretty much basic Wicca books. So it's always funny because it's just a mainstream association even that they just chucked it in that section.
It was always just slipped in there, and it's a small book, so you could always find it easily in a lineup. But yeah, no, we all did it in the Borders and the Barnes & Noble and all that. So the Satanic Bible was his compilation of thoughts and philosophy. So it's divided actually into four books, as he called it, one named for each of the princes of hell, which I'll get into, or the elements also. So he had the Book of Satan, which is fire, and it was the he called it the Infernal Diatribe, which was really about the kind of founding of the church and why he felt it was necessary to form this movement. Then you have the Book of Lucifer, which represents air, and that was about the philosophical leanings of the church. There's a lot of essays about aesthetics or about morality or about deification of your own self, or then and really this atheistic thing, and some about magic in there as well. And then you had the Book of Belial, which represented earth, and that is talking about like how the rituals work in Satanism. So there is a section of the Black Mass in there. There's also a section about working like actual magic and the way that Satanists, LaVeyan Satanists, go about magic. And then the last book is the Book of Leviathan, which represents water. And that actually is really just the solemn, like the Keys of Solomon that John Dee wrote, reworked to fit in. So that's like a metaphysical manual.
You talked about the Church of Satan as an atheistic, satanic group, but a lot of those words you were just saying to anybody else sounds very religious, especially from a pagan perspective. So what do they believe then if they're not theistic or really have any sort of religious aspect in the way we would traditionally understand it to be?
That's a really good question. Again, part of this co-opting of the ritual structure and the Bible, even calling it the Satanic Bible, is really just a way of striking back against organized religion. It's co-opting ceremonial magic to an extent, but mostly the Catholic Church and the rites of the Catholic Church in trying to reclaim that and subvert it just to, again, strike back against this conventionalized morality.
It's a little bit of a parody, but with intent, right? There's like political intent and that's
absolutely. And I would say that for Satanists, actually both organizations we're about to talk about, ritual as theater is very much a part of it. And for Anton LaVey, it was supposed to be very lurid and sexual and dark and mysterious because it was supposed to intentionally get a rise out of people who are so inundated with this mainstream kind of Christian purity mindset. He called it the Black Mass, just to strike back about that. And he did compile essentially codes that are similar to Christian codes of like belief and morality. So you have the nine satanic statements, which are actually up front in the Satanic Bible. If you go and buy a copy, it's pretty much right up front. There's also the 11 satanic rules of the earth, which is more of a codes of conduct sort of thing. It almost reminds me of Havamal from Norse mythology, actually, a lot. And then there's the nine satanic sins, which represent a subversion of the seven deadly sins, except almost the exact opposites. It's really fascinating. I love the philosophy of it because it's just so interesting how he set it up. But yeah, so those are the main kind of tenets, and you can find those on the internet pretty easily.
I have mostly read through the Satanic Bible before, and even though I don't remember in detail most of these things that Paul that you just talked about, it is a really interesting read. Philosophically, it's very focused on empowerment and justice and all sorts of things that are, I think, very relevant today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very individualistic. And I think that will end up setting up a tension as we talk about the Satanic Temple in a little bit, where some people feel like it's maybe too individualistic and gives people too much power and autonomy and authority over others. And that will set up a central problem, and I'll get to that later. But I think, especially if you're a disaffected person who feels like they have had a lot of their power taken away by conventional morality or by mainstream religion, it is very powerful to identify with a Satan figure, this rebellious figure, and to really take up the mantle of the Satanist in much the same way that people find that with the witch. Even calling yourself a witch is a political statement to a lot of people. This is just a little bit darker, and it's a little bit more of a direct answer to Christianity, especially.
Before we move on, since Anton LaVey is such a significant figure in the Church of Satan, what happened as he transitioned through leadership and then eventually died, and how has that impacted the Church of Satan today?
That is a major kind of point. So while he was around, he was in charge of everything. He was styled as the Doctor. They called him the Doctor. And he really did lead it as a philosophical head pretty much his entire life. And while there were other figures in the church, like his own relatives, but also some people like Blanche Barton, who were around at the time, it was really his child. So when he passed, it did actually split the church a little bit. So funny to say that it split the church like a schism in old Christianity. So you had on one hand people like Blanche Barton or Peter H. Gilmore and his wife Peggy, don't remember her last name or spiritual name, I'm so sorry, who wanted to continue on the Church of Satan but change it and modernize it and make it a little bit more political, like explicitly political, or though Peter H. Gilmore says it's apolitical, but it very clearly endorses political mindsets. And then you had people like Carla LaVey, who was Anton LaVey's daughter, and she very much wanted to keep it exactly the way it was as her father was running it. And also didn't want to move it to New York because everybody else was trying to move it to New York City, and she wanted to keep it in San Francisco. So she actually did start the first Satanic Church, which is her way of continuing the Church of Satan, and it still operates to this day. She's still doing things. I think she has a radio show and she does some other like big events. And meanwhile, there is also still the Church of Satan, which is run right now by Peter H. Gilmore.
The other big organization you mentioned to carry the branch of satanic activity, so to speak, you said was the Satanic Temple. So what makes them different than Church of Satan, and how did they develop?
Actually, they formed as an answer to what the Church of Satan has really become. People who were gravitating towards this archetypal Satanism were needing something more than the Church of Satan was giving them. The Church of Satan has been criticized by many people in the Satanic community as not really supporting their membership very much, also being a little hard to access, given that it's a $250 membership fee to get in. You may or may not have a grotto. They also apparently, allegedly, do very little to maintain their grottos in different places. People were getting a little disaffected about that whole idea. And actually, there was a guy, his name is Lucian Greaves, and he came in with this other idea in 2012 to form a new satanic group who was really explicitly focused on community.
You already touched on some obvious differences between the two, but what are the main beliefs of the Satanic Temple that distinguish it from the Church of Satan?
The Satanic Temple has what are called the seven fundamental tenets. And I actually do want to speak about these a little bit because I am a card-carrying member of the Satanic Temple. There are seven fundamental tenets. The first one is one should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason. The second is the struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. The third is one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. Then the fourth is the freedom of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. Number five is belief should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. Number six, people are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused. And the seventh is every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. And those really emphasize a social justice take, which, as I was saying, did create so much tension. Whereas the Church of Satan, is seen as being libertarian leaning and a little bit more Ayn Rand, social Darwinist in a lot of their perspectives. Again, they do pull from some Thomas Malthus and other sorts of social Darwinists. The Stenic Temple is explicitly community minded and much more about like mutual aid and about trying to do the greatest amount of good as you possibly can and really seek out like justice for a community rather than personal liberty or personal empowerment.
So the Satanic Temple sounds decidedly political.
Yeah, they are explicitly political, and they make no qualms about that. It really was very fundamental to the founding of it because they saw so many things going on in society caused by mainstream religion encroaching into the public policy space and wanted to have some ability to strike back at that, which originally the Church of Satan did seem to do, and then that has tapered off, especially after Anton LaVey's death. So they wanted to form something of their own, political, that could make some real change.
I think for folks out there only vaguely familiar with what we've been talking about so far, when you see a lot of the news articles about Satanists protesting something or doing X, Y, or Z, would you say it's usually the Satanic Temple and different types of activism projects they've gotten involved in?
Absolutely. Actually, I think since 2012, their numbers have continued to expand. And actually, I'm pretty sure by the numbers, they are the majority satanic organization, at least in this country. I think worldwide, they have groups as well. So they are really spreading. And they are involved, like you said, in a lot of political activities. The most famous ones are going to be the protests against the Ten Commandments monuments that keep getting put onto government lands. They raised money and decided they were going to put a statue of Baphomet there. Because if one religion has the right to put some sort of religious monument, then certainly all religions have the right to do that on government land. And as you can see, in certain conservative spaces like the Bible Belt in the South, maybe that's not going to be received too kindly. But the only way to do it without being discriminatory is to ban all religious monuments. So it's really a very interesting game of chess. They have managed to weaponize their status as a religion, according to the United States government, a tax-exempt religion, to make sure that right-wing and fundamental like evangelical groups can't infringe upon public policy that way. It's really cool. Another big project that they're involved in is protests of restriction of abortion access. They actually have gone into the press and said that abortion is a fundamental tenet because it violates one of the fundamental tenets. If your body isn't viable, subject to your will alone, you cannot be restricted from having an abortion. So since bans against abortion violate their religious rights, it would be against the freedom of religion if they were to ban it. And that challenge has happened in a couple different states. And actually, in some places, it has gotten lawsuits thrown out of court.
When we started talking about the Satanic Temple, you mentioned that you're a card-carrying member and that the brand and approach to Satanism that you've identified with, but you also identify as Wiccan, right, and a witch. How do those things interface for you?
For me, I do think of the Satanic Temple approach as much more of a philosophical slash quasi-political stance that I've taken. I am somebody who believes very strongly in social justice causes, and I would like to be a part of organizations that do good in communities. And the Satanic Temple is literally doing so many good things that I wanted to give them my support. And also, I agree with all of the tenets. So those are really touchstones for me also in my life. So philosophically, I really go toward the Satanic Temple. But obviously, I am a British traditional Wiccan initiate, so I have that to go with as well. And that is much more of the religious or spiritual part of me. And there's obviously philosophy embedded in it in terms of worldview and cosmology, but there isn't as much about the community or social action aspect. So it's two different parts of my personality at work. So obviously, I would more religiously identify with being a Wiccan, but philosophically, I really identify with being a Satanist.
What would you say to someone who would feel some sort of way about you identifying as both of those things and carrying both of those titles and approaches as you describe them?
That is a legitimate concern, especially because, again, people hear the term Satanist and they do go back to that satanic panic 1980s and 90s vibe where they imagine you skinning cats, which is unfortunate that I mentioned that I just dissected a cat. But yeah, they mention all that kind of stuff or child abuse and all those kind of things that were getting thrown around. But I would say that there are a lot of people in my life that, whether they know it or not, are very much Satanists. And it's a label that a lot of us find ourselves drawn to aesthetically, but also you fall into it. Where same thing with being a witch. To me, being a witch is also being a countercultural kind of figure. You are taking your own empowerment in your own hands, and you're finding your relation to the world in a way that's off the beaten path already. So I would say that those two terms, they've been used negatively, pejoratively together. But I would say that in a lot of ways, there are ways to make them work together for positives. And that's how I take it.
Obviously, we're talking in this case, like atheistic or secular Satanism, being able to interface with a religious tradition or a spiritual path, and those not necessarily being mutually exclusive. However, I think probably important to talk through for the relatively smaller segment of theistic Satanists, right? Those who you might stereotypically think of worshiping a Christian devil figure. Obviously, that would probably cause some worldview conflicts. And I don't personally know any Wiccan witch or pagan who also is a theistic Satan.
I would say that the majority of theistic Satanists wouldn't even necessarily consider themselves pagan or witches or anything, though there are some people who might gravitate toward this idea of witch as like a magic user or somebody who employs that as part of religious practice. So certainly there might be Luciferian witches out there or explicitly magical practicing ones. But in the ways that we understand the term witch or Wiccan or pagan, they wouldn't necessarily always contemporarily be in there. By one definition of paganism, anybody who isn't Christian or doesn't follow that thought process is pagan. And in that case, I would say that Luciferians are not pagan because they are following from a Christian perspective, an Abrahamic perspective, even if they're coming at it from obviously the opposite perspective. So yeah, pagans and witches pretty much explicitly don't worship a devil figure. It's not really something in it. Obviously, as a Wiccan initiate, I'm here to tell you that I do not worship Satan in any particular way. And I'm sure I speak for the majority of us that all of us are pretty much not involved in that.
Appropriate to point out that for some Christian folks with different ideologies and interpretations of their spiritual tradition, anything that isn't worshiping the Yahweh, God, and Jesus figure is worshiping Satan from that perspective, or whatever guise Satan takes. As two people who don't subscribe to that worldview and that set of religious traditions, that's certainly not what we believe.
I've always been a fan of he's your devil, you can keep him, or it's your hell, you can burn him. Yeah. Me. I've always been a big fan of that, frankly. So that really is how I approach that particular question.
Not speaking for everybody, but most pagans seem to as well. So in the vein of talking about paganism and its connection to Satanism, or what we understand to be Satanism, who was Aleister Crowley and how did he get connected to Satanism?
Aleister Crowley is probably one of the most controversial figures in kind of occult traditions, frankly, and whether that's because he wanted to be or not, frankly. So obviously Aleister Crowley is an occultist that we're all fairly aware of for kind of the Thelema OTO situation. He really is a forerunner of modern ceremonial magic. So quite a lot of the ritual structure you're acquainted with in neo-paganism really does come from Crowley, or came through Crowley at the very least. So he did style himself as the beast or the Antichrist Christ in a lot of ways. And again, this was partially self-aggrandizing, partially amping himself up and making himself have that mystique a little bit. Partially, it was also, again, this archetypal rebellious kind of thing. So it actually, in one respect, was a Satanist, but that's certainly not what he meant to do. And he actually did popularize the figure that Eliphas Levi did of Baphomet, which has now become very acquainted with the idea of Satanism. It's something you see regularly in satanic areas.
Why has his work been associated with Satanism?
Yeah, a very good question. So again, part of it is that he did create this ritual structure and this ritual ceremonial magic situation, which gave rise to a lot of pagan worship is as we understand it. Again, like I said, the ritual structure of Wicca is pretty loosely Crowley's invention, actually. Gardner definitely did lift some of that from him. And because of that kind of association and all of the kind of mystique and air about him, he was already being labeled as a Satanist in that way. So obviously any of his products are going to be seen that way as well. And it did not help necessarily his claims that he did go about equating the symbol of the Sabbatic goat, which was already seen as being a demonic kind of figure, with things that he was doing. He explicitly references Satan a couple times in his writing. Again, more archetypally or more spiritually, less like fundamentally in that way. But he does do that. So he has a natural being acquainted with that. I mean, being conversant with the whole Satanist idea. So he's almost like the boogeyman, actually. I would say Crowley is the modern boogeyman.
Probably relevant to mention since he was born in the 1800s and lived through the early and mid 1900s. Obviously, it wasn't culturally a very favorable time to be against the norm, particularly dealing with what people would consider very taboo, like occult type symbolism and theology that he was creating and surfacing. Understandable to some regard that he would be seen as an outcast, but important context. You mentioned that Crowley was partially responsible for popularizing.
He literally just had a stroke.
You mentioned that.
No, we're going to have to wait.
I know. Okay. 3, 2, 1. All right. So you mentioned that Aleister Crowley helped to popularize the it was better. We're keeping that one in. The sigil of Baphomet and the whole iconography of Baphomet. So could you describe what Baphomet actually is if people are trying to figure out from memory and its relevance to Satanism, paganism, and so on?
The sigil of Baphomet is the symbol that you're used to seeing associated with Satanism. It is that kind of goat head inside of the inverted pentagram. And if you see a depiction of Baphomet just standalone, you're thinking about the kind of winged, half human, half goat person, the goat head with the like kind of demonic wings, the big horns, and then a human torso, goat legs, and usually he's depicted or they're depicted with breasts because they are associated with androgyny. And that is also very symbolically important because it's the idea of being complete, perfect. Sometimes you see, actually, if you think about the kind of archetypal devil card in tarot, especially in Rider-Waite or even in the Marseille deck, you are probably picturing pretty similar persons as Eliphas Levi's Baphomet depiction, the Sabbatic goat depiction.
I believe also made popular in recent pop culture by Sabrina, the Netflix series, because I believe they used the exact depiction of that Baphomet, which caused some issue. I don't remember which organization in particular, but I know caused some legal issues for Netflix.
Yeah, actually, it was the Satanic Temple, because the Satanic Temple did a commission of a particular kind of interpretation of a Baphomet, which you can buy in miniature on their website, which is really cool. And it was the one they were installing in these public places, which involved Baphomet with children as like a kind of symbol. The Netflix Sabrina series did use pretty much the same thing. I think they took away the breasts, which kind of does take away like a big, yeah, important characteristic of Baphomet. And they made like other minor, very minor alterations, but the entire statue is patterned the same pose, the same kind of other elements. And so I think there was a legal challenge the Satanic Temple was involved in with that. I don't know how that's progressed or if it's been settled at all. Obviously, the pandemic stopped a lot of legal proceedings too. So I'm not sure how that's actually panned out. But yeah, they did get into a little bit of hot water with that.
It was very interesting. And I know another symbol that folks may recognize is the sigil of Lucifer. So what is that symbol and its relevance to Satanism?
I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound kind of controversial, because I know a lot of Satanists really love the Baphomet sigil as the big sigil. I think that the sigil of Lucifer is very aesthetically pleasing, and it's like one of my preferred symbols. It's a triangle, like a very triangular symbol. So it has a triangle with these protrusions that kind of hook off the end, almost like a crowbar at the kind of bottom points of it. And there's two sets of those, some that come from the interior angles and others that extend as the from the rays on the side of it. And then there's like a V kind of connecting the two. It's a really pretty symbol. It's very aesthetic. And it is from the Grimorium Verum, which is a kind of an occult text, which had to do with a lot with summoning spirits. So it very much fits into other angel, like archangel sigils, because of course Lucifer was considered to be an angelic figure pre the fall.
As we wrap up this whole conversation and we're ending with some of the symbolism discussion, talk to me a little bit about the pentagram, which is a very big Wiccan pagan symbol, but also associated in its normal and inverted form with Satanism. So talk me through why that is and how that connection came to be.
So obviously, the modern pagan movement has been using the symbol very much. Wicca was really the thing that used it as an emblem. And in Wicca, it's the symbol of the elements. It's the earth, air, fire, water, and the spirit that unifies it all. And a lot of people, in trying to explain the difference between the inverted version and the upright version when they're talking about it to especially Christians or non-pagans, will say that kind of top point represents where you're putting your faith, right? So you got Wiccans and pagans that are more worshiping deity figures that are more seen as being positive or benevolent, and that top point is pointing up, that solitary point is pointing up, so it's like a heavenly celestial current, and then the inverted one has the bottom, that point going down, that solitary point going straight down, and the idea is that you're working with that more diabolical or malevolent forces. And I think that's a cutesy oversimplification of the situation, especially because the pentagram became popular with Satanists because it was also used, people forget, as an early Christian symbol of the five wounds of Christ, with the two nails in the feet, the two nails in the hands, and the crown of thorns. So it was actually kind of a reclaimed Christian symbol. And actually, you see it throughout all of culture. The Greeks used it. It was just everywhere. And it was specifically the Church of Satan that really brought it into modern Satanism, because they did pair it with the Sabbatic goat situation to form that sigil that we're all used to of Baphomet. And something else that you have to see is that pentagram symbol has been used culturally as a trope for a very long time, of all things metaphysical, eerie, horror, murder. It's been used in horror movies and everything every time you see something. So for mainstream society, for Christian society, they already were thinking it was a satanic symbol. So it would have been foolish for Satanists not to run with it anyway. So frankly, I actually think it was almost foisted upon them.
Important takeaway. If you see a pentagram, it's more likely associated with Wicca. It depends on who's wearing it and who's using it and what context.
Context matters.
But it's used by a lot of Wiccans and pagans and certainly some Satanists. But usually you'll see it more often in its inverted goat head form.
Yeah, I would say more often than not, you'll see the sigil of Baphomet be paired with that inverted pentagram, and that's going to give you the tip off that, hey, this person is a Satanist.
I think that wraps up the main part of our conversation, but to summarize, I thought it'd be fun to have a little bit of a lightning round where you quickly respond to a few questions about what we've talked about to help summarize this. In general, do pagans worship Satan?
No. How brief you want the answers?
No, that's good. Are Satanists witches?
That depends. It would be more self-identifying at that point.
Sure. And perhaps pedantic, but are witches Satanists?
No. It's a squares and rectangles moment at that point.
There you have it, folks. That's Satanism, witchcraft, paganism, all in a nutshell. A brief, but a good overview, I think, of what Satanism is and isn't, particularly in relation to paganism. Because they are often conflated in the secular space. Yes, hopefully you enjoyed our conversation about Satanism and how it relates to this. If you have any questions or follow-up comments or things that Paul mentioned that you may want to know more about, please feel free to reach out to us and let us know. We could always do a follow-up or additional episode. I know when Paul and I were talking about this a little bit in planning, there were lots of things that he wanted to also add in, but there just wasn't enough time or space.
There's a lot left that I would have liked to talk about, but we didn't want to over inundate or over get into the nitty gritty. So yeah, if you have any other questions for me about Satanism or for maybe some Satanists in our fan group, because I'm sure that there are some, leave a comment in the Facebook group or in the broom closet just to ask some questions. And if you want some resources in the show notes, we can compile just like the basics for you as well. But we love getting emails, and we haven't been getting as many emails as I would like, because I love to respond to emails. So please send us an email at contact@bestsomebodies.com so we can answer your questions.
Thanks so much. That's it for this week. See you next week.
Bye.